You're listening to this podcast on danceinisrael.com, courtesy of israelscene.com.
This is Deborah Friedis, and right now I am sitting in Tel Aviv with dancer, choreographer, and teacher Shlomit Fundaminsky. Shlomit, will you please say hello?
Hi, hello.
I always like to start at the beginning, and I would love it if you could tell us how you started to dance.
I started to dance in Jerusalem, in the Academy of Dance, with a person that called Chassie Levy Agron. She passed away, but she was one of the most important women that bring the dance to Israel. And I dance also in Tamara Meyalnik. I dance with her, Graham. After the army, I danced at the Kibbutzim College. I did there my degree in dance education. That was my start.
At Seminar HaKibbutzim, where you did your college degree, what kind of dance did you study there, and what other related courses did you have to dance?
The main issue in the seminar is the degree of teaching. So you do all what you need to know to be, first of all, a teacher. And it's a teacher for children. And after it's coming the dance part. We did Graham, we did ballet and improvisation, Ktav Tnua, movement notation. It's really a strong element in the studies there. And for me, the really important thing in the seminar was the creation part. There I started to create. They put a lot of weight in the creation part. But the studies, the dance studies, are really how to know to deliver your knowledge in dance. This is the aim of the seminar. The aim is not to give you the elements to be a professional dancer. You need to learn how to be a teacher.
I guess I should say that I have been a student of yours. I've been able to take your classes at Noah Dar's classes in contemporary dance. So I've seen firsthand Shlomit's teaching and how she can convey her knowledge very, very well of dance. So you said that at Seminar Kibbutzim, you started to do choreography while you were a student at the college. Did you feel immediately a connection to doing that, or was it something that developed?
I really related to the creation part immediately. I thought it's like a present that the seminar gave. Yes, I think that something I learned before the seminar, I did a year of cinema studies in the university. And I think something about creation is in my, I don't know, blood, if I can say, or this is the way that I'm thinking, and it was really nice to that they gave me the chance and the tools how to arrange my thought to one thing. And also I have to say that the seminar opened me the way to improvisation and contact improvisation that was really, really, really at the start in Israel. And there are tools, really important tools for me to create today.
So you just mentioned improvisation, and I don't know if people listening who are not so much in the dance field know, but just as jazz musicians can improvise, dancers also can improvise and perform their improvisations. And Shlomit, I've seen you with the octet, which is a group of several dancers who are doing improvisation. Can you tell me a little bit about your work with them and how it is that you structure an improvisation which you perform?
This is really a great group that organized here in Tel Aviv, that the aim is to research improvisation and way that you can build a piece with the improvisation and perform with the improvisation. And also how to bring people, different people, the improvisation to their life and the connection of improvisation to their life and what is it. So we have one musician in the group and a few people that coming from the field of contact improvisation and a few people that coming from the field of improvisation. every meeting, we meet every Tuesday night, and every meeting someone from the group or people that we invite from the outside brings their knowledge to the group. After a warm-up that this person gives, we just do a score that he decides on. And like that, I think that we spread our knowledge out. And it's really, really interesting. I think this is the most interesting thing for me, because it's really how to know how to live the moment and to take it afterwards to my life, and to know to live the moment and not always to think what happened and what will happen. And it's really important for me, for my life, not just for my dancing life. So for me, it's like, you can say it's good for my work, but it's good also for my life, and it's like a therapy sometimes.
I feel like I've been having a lot of thoughts here, actually, in Israel, looking at the work that's being done and looking at people's approaches, that there are so many people who in some ways, I think, are trying to bring these issues of life and art together.
The professional life of a dancer and creator is really tight, and really tight here in Israel. You need to put away of your life, private life, and really, because you are an artist and this is what you do and this is your first love, so it's going over on your life. So people starting to develop the way how those two things are meeting. So how to share your life and your concept with your work, and then not to feel that these two things are really separated, and how to enjoy your life from what you're doing, and not just always work.
One thing that you mentioned was contact improvisation. And I've seen that there's quite a huge contact improvisation scene. There's a very large festival that happens and jams all the time. I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about contact and what that is.
Okay, I'm not a contact person. I'm from the improvisation part. I'm doing contact, but I never learned it. I think contact is like a technique, like ballet, also like improvisation, it's technique. And I just using now my impulse as a dancer when I'm dancing contact. So that, I think that you need to go to a person that really know how, because it's really, really interesting the way from where it's coming from, and there is a lot to know about contact. So this element we're using in our meeting in Octet, and I'm also using when I'm teaching improvisation, I teach contact, because this is a way of communicate, and it's very important when you're doing improvise to know how to touch someone, how to meet his body. And I think also, again, contact is a way of life. Contact and improvisation are, because it's something that's coming from your impulse as a person, really, really close to the way you behave in life.
Contact is definitely something that I see the influences in a lot of people's choreography nowadays, not just here in Israel, but in the States and also in Europe, in terms of how you see people partnering with one another, how they're working with each other's bodies, supporting using different body parts and not being limited to, I guess, a more balletic sense of partnering where it's a man and a woman, and usually it's the man supporting the woman, but here with contact, having people, regardless of gender, being able to support and not just using their arms to hold or lift or carry. How would you describe your movement style and aesthetic?
I think that there is a lot of gram in my body, because I learned when I was young, I learned just gram. I was like, gram all the time. So there is a lot of elements, but I'm not teaching gram. And I'm not using it as I don't think about it, but I know that it's in my body. I know that there is elements of release technique, but the most important thing in my movement is to bring the feeling and the association that's going around me to my movement. And this is very, very close to physical theater. I learned the physical theater a year in here in Tel Aviv. And the way that you decorate the space, the way that the space decorates my body, what the space brings to my body and what I bring to the space from my body, I think this is a really strong thing. So there is a lot of physical theater in my movement or my decisions. And I think when I say release, I never really learned release, but I learned or I got 2 years of treatment in Feldenkrais. It's really a similar thought like release, like to bring the movement from outside, from the edges of the body, and to release them again to the space, and to think that we are just people, not as people, like we are delivering movement all the time. And I had a problem in my body, in my back, so like in 2 years I got treatments and I got the knowledge that this is the same way of moving, like release. And this, I think it stayed in my body.
It's interesting to hear you talk about the physical theater. I feel that even in the phrase work that you give in classes, I feel like there's in some ways some character to it. I feel emotion in it. I feel like I'm getting to invest my whole self in a more meaty chunk of movement, almost like choreography. I don't know whether what you're bringing to class are actual excerpts from pieces that you're working on or have done, or whether they're just... No, she's shaking her head and laughing. But it feels like a very whole phrase when you bring that into class, even though it's not actually from choreographed work. So it's kind of neat to hear you talk about the choreography itself, and I think it's reflected in your teaching.
I feel and I think that our body needs to deliver also what we feel and what we thought, not just our words. When I want to say something or when I'm thinking something, I not just need to hold it in my head. I can also tell it to myself also with my body. If I know how to let it go, and this is very close to improvisation, I just have the tools to know how to use the environment around me and get it out from my body. So I feel more perfect, like I can be my mind and my soul are together and I may bring out the thoughts. So for me, the classes, I don't really put the aim on technique. I'm going through it, but it's the technique, it's always a way to give the body a better way to express yourself. And I really think that the technique is very, very important. But my student in my class, I'm just giving them the way to really trust the body to dance. This is really the I am, and not to think about beautiful. Maybe sometimes if you need to be beautiful, but really to release the movement from the body.
For me, I have a sense vaguely of what physical theater is, but it may mean different things to different people. And so I'm curious to hear your take on that.
I think that now there is a lot of people that are talking about physical theater in Europe and in the States, about physical theater, but they don't mean about the physical theater that is really Lecoq physical theater. They're talking about a theater without or with words, but the main thing in the physical theater is a body, and it's still theater. So you're using the body to elements of the theater, and the most important thing is the body. And the body can create the environment, and to take from the environment things to tell outside. And the most important thing in physical theater is to use the body to the story. The most important thing are the feeling, are the thoughts, the person that's standing on the stage. This is the most important thing. And the person on the stage using the body to say what he have. And not as dancers, that the body coming first. We use a lot as dancers the body as a placard, or we know so much how we are standing and how we taking the leg up and how our hands are moving. But this is not the I am in physical theater. The physical theater said, okay, tell the story, who you are, what you have to say, and use all the elements of theater and use also your body to tell the story. I think that the inner pocket that you saw is really physical theater piece. It's not a dancing piece. It's a woman that building the space, her house, without, there is nothing that you can see, but after you see the performance, you know exactly how the house is looking. You know where is the toilet, where is the room, where is the door, where is the window, and you don't have it really. I create it for you with my body, and the house create my body.
As you started talking about physical theater and using your body to tell a story, I immediately thought of your solo Inner Pocket, which I saw about a month ago at this point at Beit Tami in Tel Aviv.
I think that I'm using in my pieces a story like physical theater. So there is a story, it's beginning, middle, and end. Not just as I'm not creating pieces about ideas. Maybe the one now with I'm dancing with Yaniv. We have an idea and we're moving through it. But I'm trying to use really stories and to tell them out. And because of that, I'm thinking that I'm dealing a lot with theater. Because in theater, you're telling story to the audience also.
We're talking a little bit about theater, but physical theater in which the body is the key element there, not text. But I have seen in some of your works, not all of them, but in some of them, you do also use your voice a little bit. Can you tell me a bit about that? How do you decide to use your voice? And how do you settle on the particular words or sounds?
I don't really have an answer for it. Because I think that this is coming from the improvisation when I create the piece. Like I'm really getting free my thoughts away. Well, if I'm using a word, I'm not using a text. It's not I'm using something. I just release association to the space. It's just association. If you saw Tali piece, it's a really different piece from what I'm doing, but she's letting free her association from the word that I gave her to think about. And also when I did Wading, it's another example of a work. I'm getting free, I'm letting free the association that I have in my mind. And I think that the words are always improvisation on the stage. It's something that I let go. I decide before I'm getting on the stage or when I'm creating the piece. I know that I will use association words in my piece. Sometimes I use sounds, but sometimes it's like music also. I had, again, the piece that I call Waiting, piece without sound at all. It's all the 10 minutes is on silence. And I have those words as a sound. I repeat them. So and I'm using the sound of them also to my body afterwards to create the rhythm.
We've had a few discussions informally where we've talked a little bit about Israeli contemporary dance as a whole. Do you feel that there's anything Israeli about your work? And if so, what?
I don't really know. I bring my work, who I am, and I'm Israeli. So I think there is a lot of... I don't know really what is Israeli, but I think I will start that there is a lot of braveness. There is something brave in the Israelis. I think that they trying to reach to the edges. Because, I don't know why, but there is something really going on to it. Not to be okay, just okay with things. Like, really going and deepening into it. And I think that this is something Israeli. There is a lot of like loud. There is something that's going to the audience and don't let them, okay, it's nice, it's beautiful, it's just come and see and dream with it. No, look and listen and think about it. And I think the Israelis like to be heard and like to say what they think of. And also in my pieces, listen, I want to tell something. A lot of people say, I don't know, but there is a lot of, like, my characters are coming from Europe sometimes. And maybe because my family from my father's side is from this direction of the Europe, so something, I don't know. I think that I don't really have the answer for it because I'm so Israeli. I'm just Israeli and I have roots from Syria, from my mother, and roots from Poland. So I know that they came in and I know that Jerusalem, where I grew up, really coming in my pieces, but I don't know where to put it. You need to put it, Deborah, the outside the eyes.
Yes, my outside eyes. This is why I ask this question, because I need the inside eyes to blend with my outside eyes, I think, to get some understanding of it.
I think that something about the Israelis, there is a lot of pain, because I don't know, maybe because of our history, maybe because what we getting here in the country. We're dealing, even we know that pain is something that we're dealing with. And I'm dealing with this also in my pieces. And maybe it's like something that the Israeli do, give the pain a place. And I like to bring the pain with to look at it and to laugh at it. So I like to bring that, not just, oh, I'm suffering. Oh, I'm suffering. We all suffer. Let's laugh about it. This is really funny for me sometimes. So maybe that's it.
So that it doesn't become quite so heavy. You're dealing with it, but you're not dwelling on it. And because of the way you're working with the audience and sort of demanding them to pay attention rather than letting them sit and be pretty with it, perhaps it also puts them in a situation where it's okay, let's deal with pain, but do we need to just wallow in the midst of it for forever and ever? And is there another way to deal with it? But it's true. I think about what I see on stage here, and for the most part, I don't get a sense that there's escapist work. Like in Europe during World War I, there was the Ballet Russe, and a lot of what they were putting on stage, it was huge, spectacular works where Sergei Diaghilev was bringing together the top European visual artists and composers and choreographers, and they would just have these fantastic, visually stunning and, you know, amazing sound scores, you know, amazing music, people like Debussy and Stravinsky. But it was a way that during World War I, people would go to the theater, and instead of dealing with the pain that was going on in the world, they were having a pure escape, a fantasy world. And it's something that could be an option, but I don't really see it in the field here. It's not escaping from it. It's dealing with it, but maybe with some humor. Or
I'm always have the part of fantasies in my piece. There is always, when I using lightning, I always say to the lightman, okay, this is a part of the fantasy. Because I'm a fantasy woman, and I feel that every person has fantasies, and I don't know, when you're hearing a music, you like just to go with your fantasies. And so I put it in my pieces, but they are really as fantasies. This is not the reality. The reality is different. It's hard, maybe hard and funny, but all my characters going to the fantasies. This is really, I like fantasies. I like to know what the fantasies are. I like that the audience is getting to the fantasies, but not all around. He know how to coming from the reality to the fantasy and what the relationship between them.
So that it's not a fantasy that's disconnected from reality.
Maybe this is Israel, because Israel is fantasy. Yeah, we're living here in really areas that's really hard, and we are thinking as we are in Europe. But we are in Arab area, and I think that Israel is fantasy. It's really good fantasy, but we need to keep it that it will stay, yeah? Come from Sderot to Tel Aviv, you can do a really nice piece from the reality to the fantasy and back. This is it, like Tel Aviv, it's really a fantasy. It's really an amazing city, and people are coming here to live a life of, they're not connected really to the reality of this area, and to build really a new reality.
I think it's why it's actually been a relatively easy transition for me to move to Tel Aviv, because it does feel, I mean, I'm not from Europe, but it feels like it could be either in some ways European or American, and in a sort of metropolitan, cosmopolitan sense of the world. Do you think that there's anything in the physicality of your work or of the larger Israeli contemporary dance scene that is Israeli or different from what you've seen when you've traveled in Europe or in the States? I know you just got back from a festival in San Francisco, so you saw a lot of work there.
I think there is a lot of braveness in the Israeli creation. Physically, I think that there is, there is a lot of contact using now. There is a lot of Yasmin Goder. She's really well known here, and her language is sticking to everyone. Like, she has something that really extreme movement that people taking and using, and it's spread everywhere. But I see it also in Europe, this kind of movement, I have to say. I think that I don't know if the physically is, yeah, there is a lot of groundness, a lot of floor using in the work of people, but I think that mostly I see people here going really deep and really trying to feel and to move from feeling, and not just represent and present their movement to be their movement. I think that this is the way that I know that maybe there are Israelis on the stage, or maybe this is an Israeli piece, because I see the deepness from, we say here, kishke, like really the inner sides of the body. And for me, this is a type, Israeli type thing.
Yes, what is the expression? You feel it in your kishkes?
You see it and you feel it in your stomach. Or you bring it from your stomach.
Yeah, you feel it in your gut. You're bringing it from your gut, which is a very, very deep place. It's not surface. It's not a matter of putting the body into certain shapes, but it's a really rich, full place of coming from that to the stage. I mean, of course, Israeli dance is very, very connected to the larger world of dance. And, you know, people are bringing in technique from Europe and America and going to study there, and also bringing their work there and seeing it. And I think, I mean, more and more in this century, it's a global world. People are traveling, and so influences are spreading. And, you know, at the same time, I wonder, you know, are there certain things which stick out as we see the field is connected to other places? Are there still hallmarks of Israeli dance?
If we're speaking about dance and not about other fields of the culture, I really think that there is less about technique and more about the way of performance. The Israeli are a bit different. And I see it a lot, because I really trying, there is a lot of thoughts about the way you perform and not just the way you move. And you see it on the stage, and for me is the most important thing, and I feel it that this is what's unique in the Israelis again. They are more deeper, and more, not just deeper, because I really trying to find the way to bring the audience their feelings, their thoughts, and not just to present them. It's like improvisation. really to give it on the same time they perform, to really live it. And I think that this is a way of performance, a way they say things on the stage. Their choices, they are really the unique thing.
Yeah, you put your finger on something which I've certainly seen across the performances I've seen here, regardless of the actual aesthetic choices of a choreographer or the particular style of a company. And it's also something I've seen as I've done a little historical research. When I see writing about earlier performances all the way back to the 1960s when Batsheva started in 64, when they toured to the U.S., a lot of critics really noted the energy. They noticed the energy of the performers and the way that they were very, very committed to the work and very full on stage, that they were very deep, as you're saying. So it's, I think that is maybe something that does set aside or set apart Israeli performers, that almost universally Israeli performers are really bringing themselves to the work and performing it in a very full way.
You must know that to be in Israel, it's about to exist. When we grew up all the time, we don't know what will be tomorrow. It's really, maybe it's hard to say it, but it really is. It's like we are like really a tiny country and really young. We are building the country. When I tell you, okay, Israel is fantasy, I don't know what will happen tomorrow, it's a thought that I grew up with it. And I think that this is make you an Israeli to fight on your existence. I'm sorry that I'm using to fight, but this is what's happening. And also on the stage, you see it. There is something about existence, and you see it, something about you didn't come here to the world to just to live your life. It's about fight about your life, to worry all the time. It's really appalling. But it is. It's something that you're hearing all about on the news all the time. And so it became something in yourself, the existence, to be sharper, to be.
These are things which I think from the outside I can kind of observe it, but I can't confirm it without talking to people. And I mean both within and outside of the dance field as well.
I have to say that a lot of people asking about our culture, and you need to understand that just building our culture, because it's just 60 years, like, it's nothing. As Israelis, we don't have really a history, just as Jews. And to be a Jew is different from to be an Israeli. And it's a bit risky, this kind of thing. And I think what's unique in what we're doing is that we are trying to define ourselves all the time. Who are we? What this is, this place? What we want from this place? It's really connected to the works. But I have to say that my works are maybe a bit different because I'm using a lot my personality. I'm like doing my personality and my family, not just the country, yeah? When I'm teaching, I'm teaching to create in the Yafo group. And I always say to them at the first meeting, okay, to create is like going to a treatment in psychology. Yeah, it's like really to put something on the stage and really look at that after that and say, oh, this is me. Oh, this is me. Oh, this is me, yeah? So I'm using a lot my family in my work. I'm using a lot of the place that I came from. This is a way, I'm the elements in my work.
Yeah, I think it's important to realize, even within these larger issues of placing a person's work within a culture, that every person is an individual and has their own individual experiences and outlooks. And so, yes, on one level we can analyze and talk about this larger cultural sense and how the work reflects that, but there's also things in everybody's work that's going to reflect that particular creator. And So we can't look at one, I think, to the exclusion of the other, and I can't only talk about you as an Israeli choreographer. I mean, first and foremost, you're you. You're Shlomit, and yes, part of you being you is Israeli, but there are also plenty of other sides of you that are coming out in your work based on your ideas and whatever that may be on so many different issues and levels, and it's not just one thing.
About that, I can say that my work's dealing a lot with communication, because I had times that I looked at what is it communication between people. And when I came to Ireland to perform with Skidmarks, a duet of mine, and also when I came to San Francisco to perform, people go around to the issue of the Israelis and the Palestinian issue. And yes, I immediately said, okay, I'm talking about it also because I'm talking about communication. And this is our problem, communication. So, but I think that first of all, I'm looking at myself and the tiny world that I know so much, my family, that the Israelis, I think that the family is really important for the Israelis. I think more, for what I saw, more, they're more connected to the family, to the parents, from a lot of places in Europe. This is very Israeli, to be connected to your house, to go on Friday evening and to eat with your parents and all the family, and all the problems and all the happiness that it brings, this connection. And so first of all, this is coming in my pieces, and then I think, oh, we are, it's the same like our country, it's like our connection to our family, it's like a microcosmos of everything here.
The connection to family is something I saw really quickly here, and it's something I'm a bit envious of. I think Israelis have this wonderful luxury of living in a relatively small country where at most you can be a couple hours from your family and also from your friends. I saw also how Tel Aviv, which is even a secular city, it shuts down for a few hours on Friday night because people are with their family having dinner at the beginning of Shabbat. So in other communities in Israel where there is a greater emphasis on religion, it's a very traditional Shabbat dinner, but here in Tel Aviv it's not necessarily, but there's still that family-centered society, which is very, very evident. That, of course, will touch the work. You mentioned that Israelis are unique in a sense because the country is so young, it's only 60 years old, and so you're really trying to define the culture. It's something that other people have said to me as well when I've posed this question to them. So what does that mean to be building this culture?
There is a difference in the way we build. You know, when you're coming to the world, okay, why things are like that and why we don't have that and why we don't... When I educate my students, I educate that we build what we have now. Like, we need to build it if we want it. And this is the way that the dance here, you know, Noadar build for us. Noadar and Imod Fried and two people that struggled, that we will have the organization for the choreographers. And this is the way that we started this organization. So it's just now, like, everything is now starting or building. We just build it all the time. And we don't have the history that we have, the common history that we have, because of people here coming from everywhere to Israel. The common history is, I'm sorry, but it's just the pain, the Holocaust, and this is our history, really, you understand? And I think that this is maybe a problem sometimes also, that the Jews came here because they don't have where to be, not in Europe, also in the Arab countries. When I was a child, always you need to say, okay, I'm half of that and half of that. Half from Syria, half from Poland. And everyone, like, were half and half. And now, no. Because it's like we're starting to be Israelis and not half and half. So I'm still half and half, but my children will be Israelis. They won't speak like, okay, from where are your parents? And this is a different, and it's coming to your life and it's coming to your pieces. Okay, I'm half from Syria and I'm half from Poland, and it's something I'm bringing in to the stage, this connection.
If there's anything that you feel I haven't brought up that you would like to share, I want to give you the opportunity to do that.
This is the way of life here in Israel. If you want to create, you need also to... you don't have much money. This is maybe a place that we didn't reach to, the money issue, if it's interesting. But if you want to live from your art, you need also to do another things. But for me, I have the luck that I really like to teach. I really like to educate and to be part of education, because I think that this is the place that you build and you create your environment. So I really like to teach, mostly improvisation and creation, when you meet the people and have a conversation and you create together and reach to some level of creation together. So, but I see a lot of people that are performers and teachers and also create pieces. I don't know if they're choreographers, but they're dealing with creation somehow. And sometimes it's really hard to do all those things and also to publish yourself, because you need people to come to see you. But this is a way of life here, to do everything and to do all day something, to work. But
you say that you really like to educate and to teach, and I think that from talking with me today, you've also been teaching in a way, because you're helping other people learn more about Israeli dance. So thank you very much for speaking with me and sharing.
Thank you very much, Deborah.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
For more podcasts and articles about dance in Israel, please visit danceinisrael.com.